time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Hello, everybody. It's Alice Alvey today here, replacing Dave for just today. He is out getting his daughter off to college, and we are very excited to try and fill his very big shoes here. He does such an awesome job. So we will do our best, and I am very excited to have Andy and Joe here and Alan offering all their support. So this podcast, as you all know, is created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals. We are so grateful to have you as a listener, and we are committed to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. So today, August 19th, our show, what we have planned for you is that we are going to be playing an interview that Dave did with Bronwyn Morrissey at the MBA Empower event. And then Andy, Joe, and I are going to talk through, and Alan, of course, are going to talk through a little bit about what that means, because Bronwyn speaks very well about how this event is really designed for giving women the support and what that means really to the industry as a whole. We also are going to add on and talk a little bit about today's current market conditions. There's a lot going on in the market today, and want to make sure that we have the opportunity to just share with you Andy's insights and Joe's, since they've got a lot of customers that they deal with and how they're coping with the changes in the industry today. So stay tuned for that interview. I also want to thank our sponsors. Of course, number one, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America and the Community Mortgage Lenders of America. We also have Black Knight. In today's competitive market, it's critical for lenders to deliver decision quality business intelligence to the right employees at the right time. So to answer this demand, Black Knight has developed the Actionable Intelligence Platform to deliver data that drives growth and reduces costs. So to learn about the intelligence this powerful solution can provide, visit blackknightinc.com. Also, one of our sponsors is Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgage loans and home of the top LOs in the country. Finastra, we also love having Finastra as Fusion's mortgage bot solution that automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction, giving you increased productivity and a greater market share. And of course, our latest sponsor, Rezex, warehouse lending and a division of United Bank. And you'll want to listen to Ken Jones' interview that Dave did back in July 22nd. It was a conversation on warehouse lending and their inspections. So really great information for those of you who need to work in that space. Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, both are mortgage co-ops, creating competitive advantages for both lenders and vendor members. Velma, an efficient mortgage marketing and email platform, and the Knowledge Coop, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. We also have Vidyard. They're an online video platform for business. It allows you to communicate internally with LOs and with borrowers on what's needed and do so in a more personal and effective way. And A1 Assist, powered by Conversica. So listen to Roman Vinfield's interview that was July 15th. On marketing your mortgage business with artificial intelligence. And of course, finally, a big thank you to Andy Schell and Joe Farr, who have been with me and Dave since the very beginning, which is now, I think, creeping up on 12 years. So thank you for being here. And Alan, who's joined us over the last couple of years, has been a great addition. All right, let's hear from Rob Van Raphorst and what he has for us this week with the MBA Mortgage Minute.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, HUD posted a reproposed draft of FHA's annual lender certification. An earlier draft of the certification was originally posted this past May on FHA's drafting table. This latest proposal represents a further improvement in the annual certification. MBA issued a statement commending HUD for its efforts to create an environment in which lenders can operate with clarity and certainty regarding both FHA's requirements and potential penalties for noncompliance. Also last week, HUD issued FHA's long-awaited final rule on revisions to condominium project approval requirements. The final rule implements a number of improvements that will expand the availability of FHA financing for this important affordable housing sector. They include extending the project recertification cycle from 2 years to 3 years, facilitating FHA financing in projects with phases, allowing more mixed-use condominium projects to qualify, and restoring the ability to do spot loans in non-approval projects. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Rob. You know, and next up, I think we have Les Parker's Mortgage Market Live segment.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Amesworth Advisors. In two Hong Kong, they're torn. In two China, they're thrown. Like a bull without a home, a lender short on loans, riding on the storm. With China breaking its promise to keep Hong Kong autonomous for 50 years, it shows the world its animus towards the free world and trading partners. The market doubts a U.S.-China deal happens this year. Both the U.S. and China's economies are slowing. Who blinks first? Emerging markets are repricing assets. Argentina leads the way down with market reforms lost and its peso dropping 20% against the dollar. We are now all
riders on the storm.
These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
That is great. So Les, every time I hear Les's piece, I always have a flashback to the 70s, and Riders on the Storm did that again. Amazing information. Absolutely check out the tmspotlight.com to learn more from Les and to go back and listen to that again, because it was full of great information on, I like the part of lenders short on loans. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in our Hot Topics segment. All right. So next up, we have Joe Farr with our mortgage rate update. So Joe, glad to have you live on the program today. Hi.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed the last couple of weeks, but it's been a crazy couple of weeks. This morning's not so much, so MBS prices are down just a little bit, but the stock market's recovering there, and it's up about 300 points. No economic data came out today. But looking at last week, Alice, you know, another good week for mortgage rates. MBS prices improved another 15 basis points, and that's up since the middle of July, about 125 basis points. And mortgage rates have improved. The actual rates are down about 40 basis points over that time period to really about it's the best level in years. And the drivers have been concerns about global economic growth, trade, and geopolitical conflict, along with expectations for additional central bank stimulus. The ECB last week, an official with the ECB, called for an, this is quote, impactful and significant stimulus to be discussed at their next meeting. So that, along with some talk about Germany adding stimulus, it's a central bank theme these days. Now, looking at the U.S. economic data that came out last week, it was really pretty good, but it didn't have any impact on MBS prices because it was being driven by all the other events. The data that came out, especially retail sales, exceeded expectations by a lot. We saw CPI rise a little bit more than expected. The housing data was okay. Single-family starts and permits both exceeded expectations. The home builder confidence grew a little bit in August to match its best readings of this year. And they reported that traffic was up due to the recent drop in rates. Manufacturing data last week was mixed. The only concerning data that came out last week was the Consumer Sentiment Survey. It's a mid-month measure. It fell in August to the lowest level in months. The survey responses cited the concerns about the Chinese tariffs and indicates a concern for the U.S. economy given how strong retail sales have were this month, and it was a July measure. Now this sentiment survey is a real-time measure, mid-August measure, so the consumer may be getting a little less comfortable. Now looking at the week ahead, Alice, there's not much on the economic calendar to consider. We get July existing home sales on Wednesday, and a small increase in that's expected. And then we get July new home sales to come out on Friday, and there's no change expected there. The big events may come from the Fed. The Fed minutes of the July 31st meeting comes out at 2 o'clock on Wednesday. We've seen that be a market mover. And then the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium begins on Thursday. The theme of the symposium is challenges for monetary policy. And one of the speakers is Fed Chair Powell. He's going to speak on Friday at 10. So really, there'll be a lot of headlines coming out of Jackson Hole, and especially as not only the Fed, the U.S. Fed, but other central bankers are there and express their thoughts about what to do in the upcoming months. And we will talk a little later about the macro view of all the issues going on in the market these days. But that's my report for this week.
Thanks, Joe. Wednesday at 2 and then Friday at 10. And I do remember in years past, we did get news out of Jackson Hole, because isn't that an annual meeting, right, for them? Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Okay, well, uh-huh. We'll look forward to talking more about that in our Hot Topic segment, because I do think a lot of folks today really want to know, what should I do today, right? Their macro information from the market then still is something I have to say, all right, well, I'm still getting a ton of refi business. I still have to worry about portfolio retention and how do I manage all that business and how long is this going to last? So we'll talk more about that in our Hot Topic segment. So great. Thank you. All right. It looks like we head off to Scott Gordon of Open Mortgage to talk about the science of sales.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. Last time we examined the first element of a story, a relatable hero. Today I want to examine the next essential element every story needs, a relevant challenge. The challenge is the obstacle or opportunity your hero faces. For example, a company, one of your competitors perhaps, could be the obstacle. A particular situation could be the challenge. These are gold mines for scenario-based stories. The economy, another gold mine for stories for millennials and seniors alike, robbed of their ability to purchase a new home if it were not for you. Please note, your challenge does not always have to be negative. An opportunity, for example, could be the challenge to which your hero rises. Without a challenge or obstacle, your stories are boring and useless. Let's take a look at a series of escalated challenges. Sally goes to the store, who cares, to buy some groceries, still don't care, for her 5-year-old daughter, Carolyn, who is sick and hasn't eaten in days because her home was robbed. Their food and emergency money were taken, and her paycheck from her second job will not be deposited for another 3 days. Okay, now I care. It's up to you to understand the purpose of the story and scale the relevant challenge with what your relatable hero is capable of, as well as serving the overall message of your story. Challenges face both you and your borrowers on a daily basis. Make note of them, harness them, and make them your own to turn yourself into a story-selling machine. Remember, crafting effective stories is a science. There are formulas to follow that will yield measurable and proven results. It's not magic, it's the science of sales.
Thank you, Scott. And I find I would need to go back and listen to that a few times as I'm trying to craft those stories, because they are an important way to communicate. So great tip there. All right, I get to introduce myself now. And here I go. This is Alice Alvey. I am a CMB, and I am VP of Education and Training here at Union Home Mortgage, which is a fabulous company, and I absolutely love working here. Every day we are creating new education, and Bill is committed to growing this company through future leaders program, leadership programs for even our college interns and our existing partners. So lots going on here over at UHM. What I want to make sure we get a chance to touch on briefly are two things that Rob has already brought up, but I think I can make sure you get a little bit more detail on it. First of all, the Federal Housing Finance Agency did publish their final rule on the credit score model. If you recall, over the last couple of years, we've actually talked about, in particular, the Vantage score and how that could potentially open up the door for more borrowers. Well, now that FHFA has actually published the final rule, what this means is that Fannie and Freddie will now have to start opening the door to look at additional credit score models. There's a lot of work here still to be done before we are not all solely bound by the FICO model. There is right now, the regulation is going to require a four-phase process for validation and approval of a score model. And so they're talking about they need to solicit applications, they need to go through initial submission reviews, go through a full assessment of each of the systems, and really walk through how that would work within Fannie and Freddie and the industry. So really an enterprise level assessment. There's a lot of homework, a lot of procedures for them to put in place. So we'll watch this, but I think it is really far out before we may see any improvements in it. And don't forget, one of the key points in there was there couldn't have been any shared ownership in the model between any one of the credit reporting agencies, and VantageScore has that problem. So we'll be watching this to see what scoring models may emerge as alternatives. The other big piece is HUD proposing and FHA publishing their new handbook. The new 4000 now holds in it the new condominium changes that have been talked about briefly earlier in the program. The one I want to focus on is the single unit approval. A lot of folks were hoping, hey, can we get a true spot condo approval? It's a seasoned project. Everything is stable in the project. Can't we just skip all the approval requirements and just get this one unit approved? So that all starts on page 484 of the HUD 4000, where it talks about the single unit approval. We're not quite getting that super streamlined automatic approval. So for originators out there, just a heads up, you'll still have to walk through getting a condominium certification. The project needs to be well seasoned, well over a year, and there are going to be standard requirements to still get the documents. Still look at the financial stability of the project, still make sure there are no legal issues that are outstanding on the project, walk through balance of commercial use and owner occupancy percentages. So all those typical things you're used to with condo reviews are still going to exist. What will be easier is you don't have to go all the way through the DE condo approval process or the HUD condo approval process for the entire project. You're just focused on a few key metrics and making sure, obviously, our project is seasoned and our subject property is okay. So that's really the main thing. It goes into effect October 15th. So we all have a little bit of time to make sure we understand the regulations, make sure we understand condo projects that may have been before, approved before or after that. So all the new requirements go into effect for projects approved after October 15th. We're still double checking if existing projects that are due to expire in 1 or 2 years will get a 3-year. My understanding is they'll have to walk through their new renewal, but when they get their renewal, then that will be for a 3-year period. There isn't a retroactive, but we're just still double checking, still reading through the fine print with HUD as usual, and we'll report back if there are any changes. So instead of saying, Dave, back to you, I'm saying back to me. And we're going to check now in with the Knowledge Coop.
Hey, Nathan here from the Knowledge Coop. Are you a teacher or coach, either professionally or aspirationally? Then let me share these words from Ben Franklin as inspiration. Tell me and I forget, teach me and I may remember, but involve me and I learn. Benjamin Franklin's famous quote has since been proven by science and educators, and they now call it experiential learning, and it's sage advice for anyone in the mortgage industry. So do you have some training to do? Then check out the Knowledge Coop for fun and easy video-based training for mortgage professionals out there, and it's all powered by a smart digital platform.
Thanks, Nathan Nottingham. Again, to learn more, make sure that you go to knowledgecoop.com. They have a great mortgage platform. It's powered by their smart digital platform. So definitely worth checking out to keep your knowledge flowing throughout the company. All right, now we get to turn to Alan Pollack with the tech update. So Alan, welcome to the show.
Alice, thank you for hosting today and introducing me. You're doing a fantastic job, and I wanted to leave you with something memorable on your first day. The first part is, did you know that a penny costs 2.4 cents to manufacture? And so it sounds that's an expensive proposition, right? Yeah, it's expensive. So it'd be easier to have a podcast, which today you do. And did you know that there's over 30 million episodes of podcasts as of June 2019? So you are one of 30 million as of today.
Wow, thank you. Well, it sounds like a penny costs more to make, just like, you know, it's a housing finance loan. A bond loan costs more to originate.
Right. Yeah, that's great. So a couple of quick things today. You know, I like what I've been following your comments on the Vantage Score model. I think a lot of people talk about it. You know, I think a common topic out there is credit karma. Credit karma, a lot of people talk about why when I pull my credit on sites like that or that site, it seems higher than it is if I go to the actual credit rating agency. And what it turns out is they use a blend of the Vantage Score model and some other analytics, so it's not always exact. So that's something that, you know, some people consider it a higher score. It may be a new trend of how to really assess credit. Anyways, I see it as a big technology opportunity. So for anyone that's not already looking at the Vantage Score model, but thinking about credit models and how we determine eligibility, that may be a place where technology can help move that closer. So we'll see what happens there, but I wouldn't be surprised. Couple quick things in the news. Digital mortgage company Better.com, they just closed $160 million in funding. They're hoping to hire about 400 people. If you recall, they had about They did about $375 million in mortgages this year. They did a capital raise earlier, and they're hoping to hire about 400 people. They're looking to expand partnerships and scale their platform to continue making it easier. They hope to close over $4 billion this year. So there's a lot of investment there. I think Goldman Sachs is one of the investors in that. So if you're interested to see what a lot of money can do in a short period of time, you may want to take a look at Better.com throughout the rest of this year. And, you know, we always talk in technology. It seems that there's a lot of focus on the borrower and then the back-end efficiencies. Well, I think where the gate opens with back-end efficiencies, a lot of people, depending on the channel of business, by the way, Alice, a lot of people have been talking about OCR. And so there is three announcements that actually came in the same week, which I thought was kind of funny, of three OCR platforms. Now, these platforms do more than just OCR. Most of our listeners probably work with these companies today, but all three announcements, I might as well cluster them together. The first one, LoanLogix, my prior company, they just announced that they are powering technology behind Freddie Mac's new tool. It's in automating their automated servicing transfer. And so these technology enhancements are going to support their co-issue exchange. Ultimately, if you think about it, it's analyzing documents and data. Documents and data touch many hands. And so finding that single source of truth, LoanLogix is empowering Freddie Mac and that partnership to do more with that data and that automated workflow you get from the data. The other one is VisionNet Systems. They've announced an integration with Ellie Mae. I think they've been working on it for a long time. The press release says they call it Visi Loan Review. And so now they're embedded inside of Ellie Mae, and they give the ability to, you know, efficiently and securely process large volumes of documents while reducing operational costs. So to me, it sounds like a broker uploading a package or a correspondent channel or a due diligence or a post-closing review, those kind of areas. VisionNet has some great technology. You want to check that out. And then finally, the last one is a company I used to work at, LoanComplete. It is a product of Fiserv. They are integrated into the Fiserv ecosystem. And they have just put a release out that they've enhanced their OCR engine with machine learning, and they're enabling an auditable exchange of data, image documents, and electronic records. And so if you think about all three of these vendors, they're all sort of doing the same thing. Very important aspect of the onboarding process, validating data. So if you're not working or you're thinking of working with an OCR technology provider, there are benefits there. You want to check that out. And then what I wanted to sort of finish off on today, you know, we've had this topic I've been talking about, you know, where to use technology. I introduced that new acronym, which was DWTUT. I want to talk about the National Housing Survey special topic. It's a quarter one topic. It just came out. And it's called Shopping Around for a Mortgage Pays Off. And what it really says is that while mortgage is more than one third said that they shop around for a mortgage, the average home buyer obtained two mortgage quotes. And that's the important aspect. When we look at the amount of loans that we originate, each month, and then the amount that we actually close, the gap in the middle is, you know, what you can call your abandonment rate. Now, you may have denied some may have withdrawn, but ultimately the difference hasn't decided to move forward with you. And so the survey really talks about how borrowers have gone out, they've gotten at least two quotes, and those quotes have given them a better rate and better negotiating power on top of somebody who didn't do that, which would be obvious. But then, you know, a little more research, and I found there was a Forbes article about the same topic. And remember, Fannie Mae had put out a couple months ago that borrowers still need to be knowledgeable about the process and use technology in those areas to empower a borrower to know more about what those myths are. And so this Forbes article is really interesting because what it talks about is a couple items regarding that Fannie Mae article I just brought up. And what they really say is that borrowers, they are still confused, and they're making the process more confusing. And they think, for example, that credit scores need to be higher than what they really are. They also think that down payments need to be higher. They also think that a lower down payment is going to be a higher rate. So there's a lot of confusion. We're so used to the process of originating a mortgage that we forget that borrowers are brand new. And we forget that the things that we're so old in our industry to us, they still need. And really, you know, what I wanted to mention is that as the rest of the year sort of tails on and then tails off, we've got two amazing conferences left. And there's a couple others. One is the Mortgage Collaborative, really three, is going on right now. Fantastic conference, great content. We also have the Digital Mortgage Conference, which is there's going to be a lot of great new technology solutions. And then we also have National MBA. And that conference is filled with meetings. There's folks that you're going to find things out that you didn't know. It's how do we invest in each other? How do we fix what's going wrong? There's a lot of great content. And I'm talking about technology. The rest of the business is also fantastic content. What I'm going to be focused on, and I mentioned this because we talk about how to decide where to use technology. I'm going to be focused on one is what vendors do I work with today that have technology that I'm not yet using? A perfect example is I was talking to CoreLogic last week, and they've created an endpoint that allows you to have one-to-many, right? That's something that as a lender and a technology provider, you want to know about because you want to enable more of those systems, not only to be automated, but to talk to each other. And the more efficient we can make them, the easier those solutions are we can bring to the front end. And so really what today's topic is let's look at the data, let's talk to our loan officers, let's talk to the borrowers. Let's figure out how do we help make those borrowers feel more certain that they're going to get a great deal and they don't have to shop. How do we give them the tools that we may see that really aren't that important anymore but are important to them to help them understand that the process is not as complex and we're here to help them. We've got great mobile apps going out. We've got great mobile-ready systems. We've got efficiencies on the back end, but how do we bring those things to the borrower? And so as we look at the rest of the year, and we look at where to use technology, let's focus maybe on the simple things, the things that have the most impact to help make all those other efficiencies really matter. And with that, Alice, I'm looking forward to the rest of today's conversation, and your hosting abilities are top-notch, so thanks for driving us during today's podcast.
Well, thanks, Alan. Wow, you covered a lot, and so I filled up a whole page. OCR is absolutely something that, you know, I think all of the top lenders, including Union Home, you know, take a look at to see where is the best place that you can fit that into the system. And those three that you identified, it does clearly seem like that's all in the back end where OCR has been able to support lenders at this stage in its evolution. And then
right.
To your closing point, just we really have to figure out how to go deeper and really look at the areas that are going to impact the consumer. And I love what you said about making sure that we've got borrower certainty, how to get them to shop less, right? They're going to love my quote and stick with me. So thank you very much. Lots of great insight there. So, all right. So that everybody, that was Alan Pollack with TMS. You can reach Alan at TMS-advisors.com. So thanks, Alan. He is here every week with our tech update. All right. So speaking of technology, let's move on to Finastra and check out the Mortgage Bot Minute from Dan Putney of Finastra.
There was a study done just a couple of years ago by Carlisle and Gallagher that said 79% of bank customers go somewhere else for their mortgage. And it revolved around having the technology. It doesn't have to be this
elegant crowded screen. Sometimes the quicker the buttons you can just click on there to get to it.
But I think the key thing that we're finding is it's that overall experience. And you look at the millennials and they're a very educated group of people. We also look at the millennials, we all think of them as these young kids running around with iPads. They're not. They're 28 to 42 year olds now. These are people working in your branches.
And once you have it on mobile, Eric, you know how you can track that.
Absolutely, we look at it every day. We went ahead and implemented the Mortgage Bot mobile at Bank Midwest, started from nothing, and right now we're taking about 40% of our mortgage apps via the mobile.
And you know, when you look at Mortgage Bot, just talk about experience. So this has been around for about 20 years. We've got close to 1,500 customers using it. And I know there's some other vendors out there, but they've got about 50, maybe 100 customers. The technology here is phenomenal.
So, folks, what you just heard was Dan Putney. He is the Managing Director of America's Community Markets, and he's telling the crowd about the Mortgage Bot app. And then they even had a Finastra customer, Eric Schwab, VP of Mortgage Lending at Bank Midwest, tell everyone about his bank is using Finastra. So thank you, Dave, for that great clip, the Mortgage Bot Minute. That sounds interesting. And you know what? They're actually getting 40% of their loan applications via the Mortgage Bot mobile app. So that's amazing. You can also go to Lickin on Lending and click on the advertiser to see this video about Finastra's Mortgage Bot solution. All right. I am so glad that we now get to go to Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor. He is here today. Thank you, Andy. How
are
you today?
I'm doing great, and you're doing awesome. Thanks for filling in for Dave as he lifts boxes, moving the kids out of school and, you know, to their next destination. So today I was going to talk about two things. One, we've got our recorded conversation about Empower, and then also I wanted to mention about rates and volatility just as a teaser for what we're going to talk about later in the show. So to begin, though, thinking about Empower, I do a lot of work with business design. And so when we talk about a business, or we talk about a product, or we talk about a person, I work with some young people and helping them design a career path, you've got to think about who, what, where, when, why, how. Just like if you're going to write an article or write a research topic or something like that, who, what, where, when, why, how. So when we convert that into business lingo, it kind of comes out strategy, structure, technology, finance, accounting, people. Begins with strategy, ends with people. You got to have all the pieces in the middle for it to make sense. And when you're talking about a career path or a career design, you have to have a destination involved. So the strategy piece of this is destination. Where are you going to go? The strategy is about design, leadership style, in business, it's organizational design, workflow design. But as a person, it can also be preparation, being able to present yourself. Alice is a master certified mortgage banker. So you can present yourself with credibility as a stamp that comes on top of your resume. So being prepared is really important as well. So technology is important in a business. It's sort of the infrastructure, the fuel. It's the power of the rocket ship. Of course, finance and accounting. Finance is more about where's the money going to come from to fund the business, and accounting looks at what you've done. So as a person, you need to know, make sure you're not spending more than you're making. How much money would you like to make in your career? What are your career goals, and how do you hope to get there? What positions generate the revenue to support the lifestyle that you would like to create for you and your family? And then having a budget, that's accounting, tracking that how much money you're spending is less than how much money you're making. And then in a business, it's about people. You got to have people to drive the ship. It takes people to make business happen. So it's important to surround yourself with people who are like-minded and can help drive the ship, drive the rocket ship, drive the mortgage company, drive any business, launch any product, or help any person become the best version of themselves they can be. So that's a little bit of the basics behind some of the Empower stuff we're going to talk about a little bit later.
You do the five W's, so who, what, where, when, how. You know, have you ever added a second one of how much? You actually talked about that. How much am I going to make, or how much is it going to cost me? And I remember David Lord, we worked with on a couple of projects, did the visual system of work, and he called it 5W2H, who, what, where, when, why, how, and how much.
That's great. I love it. Who, what, where, when, why, how, squared. How and how much. I'm going to add that. That's good. I like it. Well, and the thing about being in mortgage lending is that the upside is more than most industries. It's a person with the right skill set and the right training and the right opportunity can make crazy amounts of money. There aren't very many businesses where an individual can make $1 million a year over time. Starting, maybe it takes 8 years to get there. But even if you're on Wall Street, I mean, that's amazing income. And there are almost every single mortgage company we work with, there are at least a handful and sometimes a bunch of W-2s that are seven figures, $1 million, $1 million, $2 million, sometimes $1.5 million. Mortgage originators can make, in the past, crazy amounts of money, and it's probably not going to change that much because the gain on sale is going to come down some and the commissions are going to have to adjust accordingly. But it's still going to be a crazy amount of money that people can make in, even if it's just $500,000, just $500,000 compared to $1 million.
Yeah.
but people, you know, people are happy with $100,000. People are $100,000. Wow, $200,000. I can do anything I want. And that's all available in mortgage lending. And you teach people how to get there in your job, you know, well, most of your career, actually. So it's really important to know what are the steps and how do you get there. So I'm glad we're talking about that more in the Empower segment. But as a quick transition also to the other topic, which is some of the rate issues. One of the things that we're dealing with today is, and I'm just going to barely tease this up because I know Joe's got more content, and that is we're experiencing rate volatility that's extremely high. We've always had volatile rates, but it's extremely high today, and the pace of change is fast. And we're also starting to talk about dipping against negative yields. Now, Joe's going to talk more about the inversion. I'm going to just briefly hit on negative. So what that means is what negative yield curve or negative yields mean is that in some markets like Germany and in Japan, people have a lot of savings. And you can convert your savings into cash and you can put it in your mattress. You can put it in a big box and bury it in the backyard. You can invest it in different things, but you oftentimes have market risk when you invest it in things. You can buy real estate. There's tons of stuff you can do with your money. But a lot of people like to hold money in a liquid form, which is a bank account or some sort of ready liquidity, right? Able to be able to convert it into spend anything you want to spend it on. So that means you want to put it in a bank. But the bank can't afford to pay you anything because they're not going to make any money on the money you put in the bank at all. And they have deposit insurance and other fees they have to pay for. So what happens is you put your money in the bank, but you don't earn any interest, and you have to pay fees to be able to have the money there. So today in savings accounts, it's like a quarter of 1%, 0.0025%. And so that's a little bitty bit about the money. But you can have negative yields when you pay the bank to hold your money so at least it's safe and in some cases insured. So that's that. Joe's going to talk about yield inversion when we get to that, but I wanted to mention that negative yield is possible and is happening today in Europe and other countries.
That's great, Andy. Thank you for teeing that up on both fronts, and we'll be circling back to both of those after we get a chance to listen to Bronwyn. So without further ado, folks, we'll be moving into our Hot Topics segment. So
you've just heard an audio clip from Lickin' On Lending, and here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Rezax, Warehouse Lending Division, as well as the MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, Velma, Knowledge Coop, Vidyard, and AI Assist.